Thanks for downloading Sunday night's main event. Coming up is our Survivor Series show with myself, Jason Agnew, and Dan the Mouth Oransky. I just wanted to let you guys know, for the first 4 minutes of the show, we had some technical problems, and our voices sound weird. You kind of hear them twice. It was feedback we were getting from the studio in Hamilton. So it only lasts 4 minutes, and then everything clears up. I just wanted to let you know that before you got into the actual show and gave up on it, because it doesn't sound all that great, but it's only 4 minutes. So get by that, and then everything else is great. And you know what? The pay-per-view is okay as well. But we're going to tell you all about it starting now.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting.
With Dan the Mouth Labransky.
Everyone has a price.
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
CM Punk turns into CM Puppet. Jim Cornette makes a starvation joke and is fired. But why does no one care about what Randy Orton said? And this weekend, we have survived both a war game and a Survivor Series. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event, coming at you live on TSN 1150. My name is Jason Agnew, and of course, joined by Dan the Mouth Oransky, and we've got 2 hours, and I say only 2 hours tonight, because along with two WWE events this weekend, there were returns, firings, so much news to talk about. But I mean, first things first, the two most important words in the world of wrestling tonight are brand supremacy,
yes,
right?
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. The WWE, they laid it down, and NXT is on the top of the heap at the end of the night. So we'll go through the complete show, give you all the details, give you our thoughts, and all those other great stories that Jay mentioned. Punk, Cornette, Kelly Klein, Mauro Ranallo, Britt Baker. It's a plethora of stuff to talk about tonight.
1-866-729-2562, because we're going to be talking, but we want you to be talking as well at us. The phone lines are already open. 1-866-729-2562. It's at SNME Radio on Twitter, or the Facebook group. It's been hopping all night long. SNME Radio. Just search it, find the group. I will approve you and get you on there chatting and talking all night. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come on back and break down Survivor Series 2019 right here on Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Whoa! Keith Lee! Powerbomb! Into the cover!
Keith Lee sensing it. He's not waiting. Keith Lee, no wasted motion. Lee from NXT going to the top rope. Moonsault, nobody there. Rage rolls out of the way. Bam! Spear turns Lee inside out. Rage into the cover. Shoots the ham. Hooks the leg. Smackdown victorious.
Welcome back. It's Sunday night's main event, and that was the one time where you heard SmackDown victorious, because tonight, Mouth, as far as brand supremacy went, they only had that one. That was it. And
no, they won on the pre-show.
Oh, so they got two.
Remember they won the tag team battle royal
on
the
pre-show. So yeah. They got two.
Yeah.
So it was 4-2-2.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Nonetheless, Raw only had one.
Yeah,
Raw was the one that only had one. So SmackDown had two.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. So it's a 4-2-1 is the score. The supreme brand is NXT.
And I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. I'm actually not surprised at all that NXT and SmackDown did the best, because those are the two shows that at the moment they are most worried about getting people's eyes on those programs, because they have NXT in direct competition with AEW, and they're just trying to establish SmackDown on Fox, so they want people on that one. So I'm not surprised. I definitely figured that NXT was going to come out looking really strong on this show.
All right, well, let's go back to the beginning, though, because it was a long show. Tonight, I have to say, though, as far as WWE pay-per-views goes, it didn't feel all that long.
No,
because
I thought
it felt fresh.
Yes, I thought it moved along at a good clip too.
Yep. So we started things off with Shawn Michaels being on the pre-show announcing the NXT team, which is Ciampa, Damian Priest, Keith Lee, Matt Riddle, and Walter. What a surprise. And I was so excited to see Walter.
I was too, but...
we'll get there.
Yeah, there was a surprise there too.
Another surprise was a tag team battle royal that they put in place here. Street Profits, Imperium, Heavy Machinery, Rudolph, Breezango, the OC, Lucha House Party, Fallen Sons, Revival, and Ryder and
Everyone
Hawkins.
They could find. Oh, my. Every tag team they could find.
It came down to Rudolph versus the Street Profits, and Rudolph is, of course, Rude and Dolph. And after coming off the top ropes onto Ziggler, Rude tosses off Montez Ford. And Montez Ford, to me, though, what a superstar this guy is.
Yes.
I thought this would be won by the Street
me
Profits.
Me too. I totally agree with you. I think they deserve the push. They really become pretty great. That's a great gimmick. But I think they really needed to... There wasn't going to be a lot of wins for SmackDown on the rest of the show, so I think they felt that the SmackDown needed to win this one, so I think that's why Rude and Ziggler went over on this one.
I think that's why it happened. I mean, this is considered a SmackDown win, right?
Yeah.
Cruiserweight Championship is next. Leo Rush is your champion going in and coming out. He's versus Akira Tozawa and Kalisto on this. No surprise here with Leo retaining.
Yeah, it was a good match. It wasn't long, 9 minutes. Rush retains with the final hour splash off the top on Kalisto. Yeah, I mean, it was good, but nothing to write home about.
And then we knew that we were going to have, you know, one of the matches that has been advertised on the pre-show. To me, it was either going to be the tag or kind of the mid-card one, you know, with AJ and friends in it.
Right.
And mid-card titles, that is, not mid-card players. But it ended up being the three-way tag team championship match. Viking Raiders for Raw, New Day for SmackDown versus Undisputed Era for NXT. And the format for this, because I was curious about this, it's one member from each team in the ring at the same time. So it's always a three-way happening in the ring.
That's
and that would continue on for tonight's show as well.
Yeah, anytime they did this style match, that was the plan. This one, I mean, obviously no titles on the line in these matches. About 15 minutes. I found the crowd to be kind of quiet for this one. I don't know, maybe they were still filing into the arena, but I thought they would get a little bit more excited on this one. And Ivar slimmed O'Reilly on Fish and then pulled him off and pinned Fish for the win. So, yeah, the Viking Raiders come out on top in this one. And that would be, was that the only Raw victory of the night?
Yeah, that I was think that so. One, right? That was the
that
one.
Was the
it was
one.
Just
that
the
was
tag.
It. That was it.
You know, O'Reilly and Fish really did have every reason to lose this match, as did pretty much anyone that competed on War Games last night.
That's right. If you're thinking proper storyline logic after being in those insane War Games matches, absolutely, their bodies should be beat down enough that they're not going to win a big match like this.
The Survivor Series main show started out with the women's elimination match. So, here are your teams. Raw, Charlotte, Asuka, Kairi Sane, Natalya, and Sarah Logan. SmackDown, Sasha, Lacey, Carmella, Dana Brooke, Nikki Cross. NXT, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Io Shirai, Candice LeRae. If you notice, they were on opposite teams last night. And then, hey, guess what? Let's just throw Toni Storm into the mix because it's not like she's a superstar waiting to happen or anything like that, and she shouldn't have a debut. Let's just put her in onto this team of five here.
They needed bodies.
I don't care. She's a star waiting to happen. And this was such... I guess it's not really... It is kind of a debut to the mainstream fan, Toni Storm here. And I don't think it did her any justice.
Well, no, it's not really the way to debut someone in a huge tag match like this, right? So, no, it wasn't probably the best way to introduce her to people.
So Cole outlines the rules here. Three women are in the ring at once, and then they can only tag in members of their own brand. The crowd is chanting NXT, and they do point out that four out of five of these women last night were in War Games. So they do point out the fact that they, once again, have every reason to lose. Lacey, Sarah Logan, and Toni Storm start this match off, Mouth.
Yeah, it was really crazy in this one. The weird part was that they did an injury angle partway through with Candice LeRae and Io Shirai, and that left NXT with only three members. So they were doing kind of the underdog story with those two.
Again, because they did an underdog story last night in the first War Games match, right?
Four against two in that match,
okay, so I'll go through the eliminations, and then interject if you got spots, all right?
Okay,
so Nikki Cross was pinned by Bianca Belair with help from Ripley, and then Sarah Logan was pinned by Bianca Belair with a 450 splash off the top. Bianca Belair did look very good in this match.
She did, I agree.
Yeah, and I really do love watching her strength. Carmella is pinned by Charlotte via natural selection. Kairi Sane is pinned by Sasha Banks with Meteora. Then we have, basically, we're back to three-on-three-on-three here, Mal.
Yes.
From there, Dana Brooke is pinned. I'm shocked that Dana lasted this long. I was sure.
You thought she was going to be the first one, didn't you?
I was sure she was going to be out first. Asuka took her out with a kick, and then Asuka and Charlotte get into a scuffle. And Mouth, your favorite here, Asuka missed Charlotte. And then Asuka just storms off.
Yeah, she just left. That was it. She just left.
Very strange how they did this. But I guess that's going to play into where they're going. I guess they're probably going Asuka and Charlotte next.
It looks like it. Yeah. Yeah.
Then because of the miss to the face, Charlotte was taken out by Lacey.
Right.
And then Natalya was the only member left of Team Raw at that point. And pins Lacey. And then Lacey Evans was pinned. I don't have who that was by. But there was a very cool pin next, Mouth. And that was Toni Storm. They got rid of Toni Storm.
Yeah, this was great where they did the two thing together here where Storm tapped out when Natty had her in the sharpshooter and then Sasha put her in the bank statement at the same time.
Then Bianca Belair, another great way to take Bianca Belair out because they did the heart attack here. Natty and Sasha, and the commentators did not point it out.
I was just about to say the commentators missed it completely.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too. It's obvious, right? Yeah.
So then it comes down to Natty and Sasha and Rhea Ripley here. And you have Sasha immediately turn on Natty.
Yep.
Punch, pin, it's Rhea versus Sasha. And this is what I didn't like from here on in, Mouth.
Where they came
back. They
started
to come
back. Yeah, that's right. Candice LeRae and Io Shirai, who had been injured, came back to help Rhea. Obviously, they weren't hurt. Obviously, this was some sort of way to get
ruse.
Them. Yes, a ruse.
Yes, a ruse.
Exactly, a scam. It was a scam. And then so we come to the finish, and Rhea got the riptide and pinned Sasha, so NXT wins the match. I mean, until that at the end, I thought it was a pretty good match.
I thought it was excellent. You know, I really enjoyed
everybody
this.
Everybody looked good. They made the guys, everybody look fairly good, and yeah, I enjoyed it too.
I liked the way it was booked. I thought they gave it a good amount of time too. Often when you get into these matches, as we actually saw in the men's match, eliminations come really fast.
Oh yeah.
And for the most part in this one, I thought they told some nice stories.
It was good pacing.
The eliminations were done well. Even at the end when you had Natty and Sasha team up for those two eliminations of Storm and Belair, it took them both to take them out. So that leaves Storm and Belair looking very strong. And let me just say this. Out of tonight's show, there were two people who stand out. And the first one is Rhea Ripley.
Oh, yeah.
This woman, this is how to make a superstar 101 in the past week.
Well, that's right. After what happened with her in the War Games match and tonight as well. And like you and I were talking about while we were watching the pay-per-view, she looks different.
Yes.
She's different from all the other kind of typical WWE girl in the way that they present the female talent. And I just like her look. She's very talented. She's got real presence as well. So I think, and they did kind of almost attach the rocket to her here. So hopefully good things for her down the road.
NXT gets the win here. I like the fact that NXT gets the win. I just didn't think that, you know, your strong Rhea Ripley character needed LeRae and Io Shirai to run out at the end.
Right.
I don't think that was necessary. I guess it was just, the
they
giant ruse just kind of threw me.
I guess
I
they were
really
heels.
Understand.
They wanted. I'm not sure why they felt they needed to do that either.
There's then a vignette. Rollins is talking to Owens. Rollins wants to know where Owens' loyalty lies due to what happened last night on War Games. And Owens says it's Raw. He's with Raw. And who is Seth to question him? And makes a reference to, you know, turning on the Shield. Then we have the non-title match that does feature three champions, though. It's AJ Styles as your U.S. champion versus Nakamura, the IC champion, and Roderick Strong, the North American champion. The big question I had for this match, Mouth, with AJ and Nakamura in the ring, would they punch each other in the dink?
Well, no.
They did not.
No, they did
thankfully.
Not do that. They did not. They did not go back to that feud, thankfully, the feud of the low blows. No, this was, I enjoyed this match too. It's 15 minutes long. They pushed Strong being in the War Games last night. It was just really good back and forth. I mean, you know how I feel about Roderick Strong.
I've loved him
since the Ring of Honor days. I loved him the way he does all the crazy backbreakers. So I thought it was great to see him in this. The finish, we had AJ doing the flying forearm on Nakamura, and he was ready to pin him, and Roddy ran in. I always love this kind of pin with heels. Mm. Roddy runs in, pulls AJ off, and pins Nakamura himself. So Roderick Strong also gets the win. So another win for NXT right here off the top of the show. And yeah, I thought Roddy looked great.
I was very surprised. If NXT, if out of this match, he was the third person. He was the one I was definitely sure was not going to
really,
win this match.
Really, you thought match. It was going to be either AJ or Nakamura?
One of the two. I thought AJ, of course, because he's AJ and he still has such a big focus.
Yep.
Nakamura, he just got that new title. He seems to have a bit more of a focus now. Roddy, it's like he was the one that could be sacrificed to me here. And
no,
surprise,
Jay,
surprise.
It's NXT. This is the NXT show.
It is not.
There are no sacrifices tonight for NXT.
We have a vignette with Miz giving Brian a pep talk in the locker room. Then Brian just says, "Get out of my face."
I
laughed out loud at that.
It was good. Yeah.
NXT Championship, Adam Cole versus Pete Dunne. Considering what Cole went through last night, Dunne had every reason to win this tonight. Now, granted, Dunne was in a match last night as well, but,
yes,
you know, comparatively speaking, he didn't get dropped off the top of the War Games cage to his near death.
No, and Cole didn't really sell anything either from the night before. He didn't really act like he was beat up or anything. They did, I think Michael Cole or one of the announcers said that he was cleared by the doctors to be able to have this match tonight. There's also an interesting point at the beginning of this, too, is Michael Cole said that Mauro was supposed to be there to commentate this match, but because he blew his voice out the night before, he was not there, which I found interesting because his voice sounded fine by the end of the
pay-per-view. Sounded fine to me as well. Yeah,
yeah,
maybe we'll ask Meltzer if he's got a whole scoop on his voice.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit more to that story as we will see later on in tonight's show. Yeah, it's very strange.
Great spot in this match, Mouth. When Dunne goes for a moonsault, he is upside down in mid-moonsault.
That's great.
And Cole kicked him in the head. This was so well put together. We also had a Panama Sunrise on the apron, and Dunne almost gets kicked out, but he gets back in just in time, countered out, that is, gets back in just in time for Cole to kick the mouth guard out of his mouth.
That's right.
This match was excellent.
It was, and that's why I was surprised that for a large part of it, the crowd was really quiet. It wasn't really until they did the Panama Sunrise on the apron that seemed to wake up the crowd, and then they did the spot with the mouthpiece, and Dunne tried to get it, and Cole stepped on his hand that was covering it, and then Dunne tried to mess with Cole's fingers again, because he loves to do that joint manipulation thing, tried for his finish, and Cole got out of it, and then got the last shot, and pinned him. So I was kind of surprised, too, that Cole won this one. But again, it's the NXT night. It's NXT night, so all the NXT guys are going over.
I just want to put out a warning for any of you that have children that watch wrestling. If your children enjoy Pete Dunne and his joint manipulation, please tell them that it's fake. Bartender Dave did not inform his children of that.
Did they start trying it?
They tried it on him. His 7-year-old tried it on him.
And they busted his finger.
And his fingers are broken. I posted the picture up on our Twitter if you want to see it.
His two fingers are wrapped up.
Yeah, his two fingers are wrapped up now. Dave is a complete mess at this point. Good dad, complete mess.
Poor dad. Warn
your children it's supposed to be fake, all right?
Poor dad.
Get well soon, Dave.
Because there's proof there that one's a simple one that anyone can do. It's not like jumping off a cage.
A 7-year-old can do it.
It's not like jumping off a cage through a table. But that's why that stuff works so well, too, because you can identify with it. Well,
right. Certainly
Bartender Dave
can now. This is going really well at this point. This is a very fun pay-per-view. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. It's myself and Dan Lavransky, Jason Agnew. Dan Lavransky running down Survivor Series. Match number 3 of the night is where things begin to waver a bit. It's The Fiend as your champion versus Daniel Bryan. The red light is blasting once again, Mouth. Listen,
I could care less.
It really takes me out of it. I mean, I was arguing with people on Twitter about this, how this was a good match. And honestly, I can't get into it no matter what I do here because of that red light. And I don't like this character.
Well,
I've given up.
And I would argue that. I did not think it was a good match, red light or no red light. I don't like the red light either. I don't like the Bray Wyatt character, period. I don't think it's working. You know, he won with the mandible claw. I mean, even his finisher is a ripoff from another guy.
I don't mind that as much. They're going with this indestructible nature, and they did it once again here because you had a bunch of, you know, knee strikes by Bryan here in the match, and over again, he was taking him out.
Yes.
But nonetheless, no matter what he did, he could not take
Wyatt
out. So it's that indestructible thing they're really pushing. And I guess that does build the character for someone to eventually take him out and for it to mean something. But I don't want to watch him that much to learn that story.
I'm just not interested in the character at all, and the red light doesn't help, and it really doesn't do anything for me. It would be a fast forward moment.
Bryan wins. Oh, sorry, Bryan doesn't win. Bryan loses because he cannot hurt the Fiend. Bray wins.
Bray keeps the title,
Rey Mysterio interview. He says it's no hold barred, no DQ match tonight, and it's been 15 years since he fought Brock for the first time. Brock never changes. but he has. He's got a pipe in his hand. He's evolved thanks to his son Dominic, and he wants Dominic to watch tonight. Men's elimination match is next. You heard the clip off the top. Raw's team is Seth, Ricochet, Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens, if he's loyal to Raw.
That's right.
Versus SmackDown, which is Roman, Braun, Ali, Shorty G, and King Corbin. Versus NXT, which is Ciampa, Riddle, Keith Lee, Damian Priest, and Walter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the first elimination would have probably been one of my last guesses here.
Well, no, he was.
Was Walter.
Oh, he was first. You're
the
right.
The first elimination.
Yes, you're right.
Now, don't you remember me screaming out a whole bunch of profanities?
Jay and I both had heart attacks as Drew pinned Walter, and he is the first one eliminated.
Yeah.
That I do not understand. He should have been one of the very last guys left.
I like the standoff they did with him and Strowman. I just kind of wanted more of it. I mean, you have a big guy from NXT that's Walter, and I don't know why they did this.
In terms that this was the NXT push show, that makes no sense at all why they buried him like that. I have no idea. He's got such a presence. He's a great big guy. You've got real good potential with them. I would love to know why they felt he had to be eliminated first.
It seems WWE does treat NXT UK stars in a different manner than NXT stars. They seem second rate to a degree. We saw
which
this.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, we've seen it a few times. The crowd did not like this either. They were chanting for cow manure. And along with that, so as we continued on this match, there were some very fun exchanges in this match aside from that elimination. We got a fun exchange between Gable and Ricochet. I loved watching those two together. Gable and Riddle, that was fun. But Gable was the next one eliminated.
Yeah, that's it. Owens eliminated Shorty G there. And then Ciampa pins Owens, so that was the whole mystery of that was done with.
But, yeah, here's the thing, though. Owens was on the top rope, and both Ciampa and Gable were laid out, so he had to make the choice there on who to jump on, and he did not jump on the NXT star. He jumped on Gable instead and got the pin there. So, to me, this is like, well, this is what's going to happen in this match. You're going to see where does Owens lie, and they're going to tease us the whole match, and boom, he was gone the very next guy mouth, which I completely didn't understand.
All the interesting stuff just got pushed out of the way right away.
I was very, very surprised at both Walter and the choice to eliminate Owen so early there.
It was very, very strange. We had Orton. He pinned Priest after an RKO. Then Riddle pinned Orton, which I thought was a bit of a surprise.
I like that.
Yeah, Orton gave him an RKO afterwards, of course.
Yeah.
And then Corbin ran in and pinned Riddle to get that win there.
Which makes sense for Corbin because
he's the type of heel that he is.
Yep, exactly.
He's a slime ball. Yep. Braun did his run where he did his shoulder blocks around the ring, which is a spot that Jay just loves. I know that.
Listen, I hate that spot when Braun runs around the ring. However, because this led to Keith Lee giving him a cross body, I understand putting that spot in here to show how strong Keith Lee is.
Exactly.
And as I mentioned, Rhea Ripley was the one person who I thought got over great tonight. Keith Lee was the other. This was a turning point for Keith Lee
for
tonight.
Sure. Yeah, Braun did the run all the way around once, and then he tried to do it again, and Keith Lee just stopped him. And I agree. I thought it was really good. But then this was kind of lame.
Yep.
Strowman got eliminated by countout. He couldn't get back in the ring in time, so he's eliminated from the match by countout, which I thought was kind of lame. Corbin eliminated Ricochet with the End of Days, and then Mustafa Ali eliminated... he was eliminated by Rollins with a curb stomp, and the audience didn't like that either.
Well, the audience tonight was chanting for Ali. I haven't actually seen an audience behind Ali this much since he was pushed aside for Kofi Kingston coming into play, but this is great. I mean, you have a groundswell behind Ali tonight with this crowd, which is excellent. And what led to this was Corbin and Ali arguing, and then Ali was taken out by Rollins here.
And that's right. And then Reigns eliminated Drew with a spear, and then Reigns comes out and he spears Corbin, so Ciampa runs in and pins him, kind of screwed his own teammate there.
Yeah.
And this left us with Reigns, Rollins, and Ciampa, and Keith Lee.
Yes.
Rollins eliminated Ciampa with the curb stomp, and then we're down to one from each team with Reigns, Rollins, and Lee. And Rollins eliminated Keith Lee with the jackhammer. And then
Rollins was eliminated after Lee hit the ground zero on him.
Ground zero, that's what it's called.
And the crowd at this point is chanting, bask in his glory. He is so over here. And I really, because again, we saw a lot of fresh matchups tonight, and seeing Keith Lee and Roman Roman Reigns in the ring together, I was extremely interested at how these two were going to face off and what the outcome would become. And I think we saw that a lot throughout the card tonight, but this was great. And I tell you, Mouth, it's rare that you and I sit here and watch this and both of us dive headfirst into a near fall, but when Lee hit the spirit bomb on Reigns and got the near fall, both of us bit on it and we're jumping up and down.
It's rare
that we mark out for something. Yeah. We were both hoping.
Yeah, it was good, man. Lee kicked out of two Superman punches, and then Lee came close, but then Reigns got him with the spear and pinned him to win the match, and they did their respect fist bump.
Yeah.
But the crowd didn't really, usually the crowd always pops for a respect spot, and they didn't really react to that one, which I thought was kind of weird.
They're still not completely into Roman Reigns. This crowd tonight did feel more like an NXT crowd. Mm. I mean, you did have different chants that would suggest that they were either wanting NXT or wanting something new.
Well, you know, these type of shows where they do the big four shows in a row type thing, it's always a lot of traveling fans, and it's a lot more hardcore fans as well, right? So I could certainly see that. This was, to me, though, a great example of something that you don't really see enough of, where a guy loses, but in the losing, he comes out looking really great. And that's exactly what they did with Keith Lee. Even though Reigns beat him, they made him look like super strong before he did. And that doesn't happen much anymore.
And think about how important this is for the WWE that is trying to take their audience that is watching Raw and SmackDown and migrate them to Wednesday show.
NXT, yep.
Tonight, the regular crowd that may have not made the switch over yet got to see Rhea Ripley, all those stars, and Keith Lee, and they're going to be, where do I see this guy again that Roman gave the fist bump to? Oh, Wednesday nights? Okay, we go.
And I agree. And I think, you know, maybe even for Roderick, Adam Cole, I think a lot of those guys, people will be like, hey, these guys are really talented. I want to watch these guys.
The method that WWE put into place tonight to create these stars, or at least build atop these stars that are already there, worked very well tonight.
And you know what? It's really great, too, because how many times in the past have we got, oh, Survivor Series, just another pay-per-view, doesn't really mean anything, even though it's one of the big four. It's the lowest on the rung of the four, and they don't usually use it. I just love the way they utilized it. They took this show that really means nothing most of the time and actually made it mean something.
Have we just acknowledged that brand supremacy did mean something tonight?
I think it did.
I've been making fun of it for the past two months.
Not in terms of a storyline and winning something, but in terms of getting people to switch and watch this brand, or at least get interested in this brand, I would say yes.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy.
I would say yes.
All right, two more matches here. The WWE Championship was next, a no-holds-barred match. Brock Lesnar going in as your champion versus Rey Mysterio. Listen, Rey tonight is either dressed as Doink or Psycho Clown.
No, it was definitely more Psycho Clown than Doink.
If you tell me that this is supposed to be Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, you're a lunatic.
No,
because
that's
it did
definitely
not. I had
not,
people messaging me, and I'm like, it did not look
that
at all.
Not even close.
At this point, you know, Brock, Ray has the pipe mouth. Brock
instantly
still ends up beating him up.
Yep.
But Dominic runs in and tries to throw in the towel for Ray. Brock throws the towel away. I have to say, I love the fact that Dominic did not turn on Ray tonight.
Yes.
And I thought these two spots that they did together were fun.
I liked it. It's too early for any kind of turn or anything. I know WWE, they tend to jump the gun on this. And I was glad, too, because you're always wary in a situation like this. You know, he had this where he's going to grab the pipe from Ray and then hit Ray with the pipe or something like that. But that did not happen. Yeah, Brock took the white towel, threw it away. He went after Dominic, and Ray gave him a low blow. And then Dominic gave Brock a low blow as well. Then he took the pipe to him, and Dominic used a chair, and they did double 619s together and double frog splashes and the double pin, but Brock kicked out from that, and then Ray tried to dive on Brock, but Brock caught him with the F5 and pinned him. Very quick match, as typical for Brock, less than 10 minutes, but there you go.
Brock retains.
Yeah.
Then there's a Becky Lynch promo, and that leads us into the women's championships. Not on the line, but it's your three champions. It's Becky for Raw, Bayley for SmackDown, Shayna Baszler for NXT. Going into this, the score was NXT 3, SmackDown 2, and Raw 1, and that would escalate for NXT. However, you know, mouth, I thought this was the right decision to put the women last here, but this match fell flat.
It just didn't connect. I think the crowd was certainly not into it. I think for me, it was blatantly obvious that all they wanted to do was eliminate one person and then pair off. And while that often works in triple threats, they went too far with it this time. And it just ended up being kind of a boring match. It didn't really click. There wasn't any really excitement to it. I felt almost like they were just going through the motions. The finish was Shayna Baszler got Bayley to tap with the rear naked choke.
Well, and that was part of my issue with this match. Shayna came off very much one-dimensional.
Oh, yeah, she I continued agree. One-trick pony.
Yeah, she continued to go for that choke the entire match and seemed like she had no other offense,
yeah.
Nothing else. And also, you know, you said they were going through the motions here. And last week on the show, Larry Zonka was on. And he talked about the fact one of the worries about doing all these three-ways on the show is their traditional three-way methodology of one person's thrown out of the ring and two people fight. And that is really what came into play in this match over and over again.
It became
stagnant.
That's the thing. They did it just a little bit too much in this match, I think. And that's right. Exactly. It came stagnant. And then, of course, they had to have Becky look strong at the end. So Becky attacked Shayna Baszler at the end, threw her on the announce table, and Becky jumped and put her through the announce table. And the final shot of the pay-per-view was Becky standing tall with the title, even though she didn't win the match.
It's like golf. The lowest score wins Survivor Series, right? That's how it works.
So I ended up being NXT with 4, SmackDown with 2, and Raw for 1. Again, I'm not surprised because NXT and SmackDown are really the priorities right now, but definitely NXT, and it's good. They took something that's usually a show that has meant nothing for a long time, and they used it to their advantage. So I have to give them the thumbs up for that because I think that was a really clever way to get more people interested in NXT.
I give this pay-per-view a thumbs up as well. What do you guys give it now? The time is yours. We are live tonight coming at you on TSN Radio. The phone number is 1-866-729-2562. A man on the phones back in Hamilton is Reese, so he will be taking your phone calls tonight, and you'll be getting on the air with us. Call in right now. We're taking your phone calls in the next block. 1-866-729-2562. The number to call. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing it on TSN Radio.
I'm here at Great Lakes Brewery in Etobicoke, Ontario, Canada, among the bubbly excitement of hearing the transmission of the first ever experience of Thrust and IPA.
Lucky, can is open.
Initiating proper can tipping into vessel. Immediate observation, this beer's appearance is absolutely breathtaking.
Noted. Continue.
Also noting a penetrating aroma of grapefruit, mango, grape, stone fruit, and lychee.
Continue, Lackey.
Huh. I pounded back a gulp successfully. It did elicit a poking and prodding of tropical fruit and resin on my taste buds.
All right.
It appears my palate is succumbing to the perforation of Thrust and IPA. All right, I gotta go. Over.
Well, there you have it, folks. Thrust and IPA. A New England IPA brought to you by the spacey intergalactic folks at Great Lakes Brewery. Drink it fresh, please.
Drop the elbow, caught out of midair by Baszler. And Baszler's got Bayley grounded in the clutch. Bayley struggling, flailing, trying to get out of this here. What's Bayley going to do? Baszler looking to tap her. Looking to tap her in the middle of the ring.
Baszler looking to cinch it in, crossing those legs to keep her body tight.
There it is. Bayley taps out. Shayna Baszler wins.
I'm a Shane Green. The only gun I need is the Aces, mate.
So here's how we interact.
Wait a second. You faded that out way too quickly. You faded that out way. How did people even get a chance to hear a bit of it?
I was going
to
say, here's how we interact in the booth together as we're watching a Survivor Series tonight. I have like a Destiny's Child queued up of I'm a Survivor. And you're like, well, you know, Shayna Baszler wins. You got to play Ace of Spades.
That's it, brother.
Because the last time I played it, you weren't on the air with me.
That's right.
And you messaged me the next day going, how dare you play that when I'm not there. Welcome back. It's Sunday Night's Main Event, Jason Agnew and the Motorhead-loving Dan the Mouth Lavransky. So there you go. That was the clip. That was the final match tonight. Mouth, looking at it now, I mean, I know it did fall flat. Was there any other match to end the show with tonight, though?
Well, that's the tough one, right? I mean, I kind of thought they would do the men's elimination last, or I thought they might do Brock and Ray last, just because it was the title. title match, but...
Well, looking at what happened with Brock and Ray, because look at the finishes, right? Like, the finishes weren't going to change.
Yeah.
Brock and Ray, I don't think, is the right one to go last.
Right.
It's a 9-minute match or whatever
true.
It was.
It was short.
Very short.
Yeah.
It could have been the men's match. I mean, having Keith Lee give the fist bump to Roman Reigns at the end of tonight's show...
Might have been a good way to end it.
I think at least then you have the actual winner of the match in the ring celebrating, as opposed to what we got with Becky Lynch.
That's the thing. That ending kind of made it kind of weird because, the person that won the match didn't really get to celebrate.
But is that a foreshadow? I mean, obviously, WWE, Becky Lynch is a superstar for them. Does it mean that it's Shayna versus Becky at WrestleMania?
It might, but I think it was more the idea that Becky is a star for us, and we need Becky to look good at the end of the match, even if she's losing the match.
Saving face at the end.
That's kind of how I saw it.
All right, let's go to the phones here. That is what we're doing tonight. By the way, the phone number 1-866-729-2562. We are, of course, live after all WWE pay-per-views. And I guess, Mouth, soon... NXT pay-per-views as well.
Well, that's the way it's looking. They're going to move them to Sundays, and I don't think they're piggyback them off other big WWE shows, because if you look at the schedule, there's not one scheduled the weekend of the Royal Rumble.
That's very interesting that they're moving things around, but I guess that comes, with NXT being integrated tonight.
That's the thing. It being one of the regular brands, I guess it's going to get the regular treatment, and it's going to get a Sunday pay-per-view.
So, hey, I like Sunday pay-per-views. That's why this show is on Sunday night.
That's right.
That's why we started doing this 20 years ago. All right, let's go to Jim from Virginia.
Ah, Jim.
Lots of women on the card tonight, and I'm sure Jim wants to talk about them. Hi there, buddy.
Oh, definitely. I was glad to see Toni Storm on the card.
Yeah, Jim. But how about that, though? I mean, I know you're a big Toni Storm fan. Didn't you think that she could have had a better debut?
Exactly. I mean, what else does a woman have to do? She's tall, she's blonde, she's beautiful, she's a multi-time Stardom champion.
Did you just say that she's tall?
Yeah.
What are you watching? Toni Storm is one of the... She is short, my friend.
Well, you must have a different television. I always thought she was about
5'10"?
I don't think she's that tall.
Are you talking about Rhea Ripley or Toni Storm? I think you've got them confused.
Oh, no, he knows his women. I'm sure he's talking about Toni Storm.
All right, continue on. So what did you think of the main event tonight, though, Jim? Do you think that was that the right spot to put the women tonight?
Excuse me.
It's okay.
I'm like you guys. I think that the match was flat, the main event. It just didn't, because you could hear the fans, some of them were saying boring and, other things. I knew Shayna was going to win it, but it just kind of just left flat. And then you got to have Becky, you got to have her, make her do it and everything, so.
But it was weird. It was like the three of them just didn't click. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes you think, wow, we put these three or these two people in a match. It's going to be fantastic. And then they just don't click with each other. And that to me is kind of how I think it went on this one.
Yeah, it's too bad. Thank you very much for the call, Jim. Much appreciated, by the way. I mean, it was kind of in between. Toni Storm is 5'6".
Well, check the ratio on your television screen. You might have the wrong ratio where everything's all stretched out.
The first word that comes to my mouth when I think of Toni Storm is not tall. great. I think that she has a great future. I think that she's a star, and I've been waiting to see her since she left NXT UK and where she was going to go. I just think she really got the short end of the stick tonight, debuting this way on Survivor.
The short end of the stick.
And according to Jim, she would get the tall end of the stick.
Okay.
Let's continue on here. We got the phone lines going. If you want to call 1-866-729.
Yeah, call us up. Especially if you were there at the event, too. If anyone was there at the event, give us a shout.
Yeah, I know. I think Jake from Chicago was at last night's show, so I do expect to hear from him, and a few people have been messaging out. But Rob from Coburg, not at the event, but on the line with us right now. Rob, what did you think tonight of Survivor Series?
Hey, how's it going? I want to say Lemmy is God.
Okay. Well, we all know that. That's a given.
Okay. All right. So I have 3 points I want to make, and I want to make them, and then you guys give your opinion on them.
Okay, go for it.
So I want to say, for the men's 5-on-5 match, Braun Strowman got eliminated by countout.
Yes.
There was no other countouts happening throughout the entire pay-per-view besides that one.
Yep.
For the whole thing, Before the women's match, NXT was winning 3-2.
Yep, 3-2 to 1. Yep.
3-2 to 1.
Yep.
Yeah. So, by at that point, we obviously know NXT is going to be winning.
Well, they can win or tie.
Win or tie. We yes. obviously know it's going to be a win.
Well, I mean,
so your point is
they could have booked that better so that it was a tie going in.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, makes sense. In. Yep.
So, and then pre-show for the last, I think it was last pay-per-view or the one, or the last Survivor Series or the one before. The
New Day didn't count, right? Yes. Okay, I gotcha.
And now it matters.
Yep. Well, it's out of convenience, though, Rob. I think we've all found that with WWE. I agree with the majority of what you're saying here. Actually, I agree with all three of your points. The fact that Braun was counted out, there was no other references to countouts.
Yeah,
out of convenience, it happens. They could have booked it so it was 2-2-2, and that last match meant something.
Right, yeah.
That would have made some sense,
too. And that would have made it probably give you a little bit more of engagement with the match, which is what was missing from that match.
Why not just let AJ win that match, and then you have a 2-2-2 to score.
I agree. AJ should have won.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And then your final one was about the pre-show. Well, I mean, you know what they wanted to do is they just wanted it. They started things off. They found a way to make it even going into the show. And I guess they tried to bring some intrigue to the actual pre-show. Maybe so more people watched it, right?
I just think
thanks for the call, Rob.
They really wanted to push NXT, and even without having going into the final match, they've already won the show. I think they just wanted to create such a strong impression of NXT so people will check it out. That's why although I agree, for the drama, it would have been better if we had some sort of tie going into the last match.
We're
going
to take a break. When we come back, we have Michael on the line. He was there live tonight.
Oh, good. Excellent.
So we will be getting the live report.
Excellent.
And we'll see if he can still see or his retinas are burnt.
From the red light.
From
yes,
the red
exactly.
light. We will do that when we return. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. We are live tonight after Survivor Series. 1-866-729-2562. Taking your phone calls all night long right here on TSN Radio.
I'm Dan the Mouth of Ransom.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old f***s, tough guy.
Oh, look out, Dominic!
Quickly, just snatching Dominic. German suplex. And,
Catching
Mysterio, F5 center of the ring. Lesnar into the cover, and, the Beast retains.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier.
This is what Ray is singing to Dominic tonight.
things are gonna get easier, son.
Yeah, child, things are gonna get easier. Welcome back. It's a Sunday Night's Main Event. That was Brock Lesnar, who destroyed not only Rey Mysterio tonight, but his son Dominic, who looks a lot like Walter Mysterio as well. Is he Dominic Mysterio? Does he take on that part of his name too?
I don't know. I guess he probably would. Sure.
Well, I was just happy that they didn't turn. They didn't do the turn tonight because it did seem to be foreshadowing that. Where do you go from here with this though? Now Brock's beat both of these guys.
Yeah.
No, father and son.
You're absolutely right. It's basically done. It's done. There's nowhere to go with it.
Well, we shall see. I don't think it's done. That's the thing.
Well, I don't know. Does he go back to Cain Velasquez now?
I think that he will go back to Cain Velasquez because in all of sports logic, it's 1-1. But Cain is hurt right now.
Yeah,
Cain has to have surgery.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
I don't know if he's had it yet, but I mean, that's a long way off. So I don't know what they fill Brock's time with. I also kind of think they might be building to Brock Bray.
Okay. Right.
Just don't know who goes over there. I don't know how.
You know what? Brock would win that one too. I think.
I hope so because I don't want that. He should come out and just smash the red light.
Yeah,
and
I was just gonna say that would be awesome.
Take Ray's pipe, smash the damn red lights.
Yeah, that would be awesome if they had him backstage and he smashed the guy that flips the switch. Yeah. He just pounds the crap out of that guy.
Michael is in Illinois. Michael was at the show tonight. I'm glad he has called and he's on the line right now. Michael, how was your Survivor Series experience?
It was
Wonderful.
Great.
I enjoyed it very much.
Well, you did get a good card. What was your favorite match of the night? Like, being there live, what really stuck out for you?
Favorite match of the night would probably have to be the men's Survivor Series match.
Really? Why so?
I just got a kick out of the whole Keith Lee thing.
Yep.
I really did. I mean, he should have gone over. It would have been a big pop. But, of course, Roman Reigns has to be the superhero with Superman Punch, of course.
I still think it works for Lee because he was up against one of the top guys, and he did look great before he got beat. So, I mean, I don't think it hurts him too much. I'm curious, Michael, what was the crowd like? Because it was sometimes hard. It's always sometimes hard watching a pay-per-view to get a real accurate gauge on the crowd. How were they? Because they seemed kind of be sitting on their hands a lot of the night.
Crowd was dead for some of the parts. A lot of CM Punk chats, especially during the women's match, a lot. And then they started chanting, "This is awful, end this match." And then we got a boring chant. And speaking before you guys went to commercial about the red light, once they played the promo package, before that, they said, coming up on Raw Monday night, Bray Wyatt will defend his world championship against Seth Rollins in a steel cage. And we're like, well, that just ruins it.
That's going to be a dark match, though. That's not going to be on the TV.
I see.
Yeah,
but it sort of ruins it. Like, oh.
Sure.
Well, that's happening.
And everyone just started just filing out immediately. And when the concession stands were full. My wife told me that. So I was like, oh, man. It felt like there was a fire there, like I said. And we were just started filing out left and right.
Well, there
you
go.
And then we got, turn the red light off. Please turn this off.
It did. Yeah. It did feel like. Thank you very much for the call, Michael. Much appreciated.
You're very welcome.
That's pretty great. I love it when people call in that are there live. Yeah, and that's part of the thing. It did feel like a smarter or maybe a more NXT/indie style crowd. Yeah. And it is Chicago too. Let's keep that in mind.
Big wrestling city, smart wrestling fans. And again, shows like this, you're gonna have lots of traveling fans. And if you're gonna travel the distance to go to something like this, you're probably a hardcore fan.
We can't do a live show without welcoming Hansy to the show. Hansy, who attended Friday night. He was at Survivor Strikes, played a part in the show.
Oh, all right.
And Hansy, now you are calling. What did you think tonight?
You know, I thought the show was actually overall fun, other than I didn't really like the Daniel Bryan Bray Wyatt match. I didn't really like the Shayna Becky match. I just thought it was kind of boring. But I thought Adam Cole and Dunn were my match of the night with the triple threat. And I enjoyed the elimination matches. I just, something about the elimination matches the last couple of years, like they'll have like cool pairings, but the eliminations are so random. Like I think the last best men's Survivor Series match was actually the one that was in Toronto, actually the 2016 one. That won an hour, and that one was like one of the best Survivor Series matches. And ever since then, like the 2017-18. They weren't like anywhere as good as that one, but this one was kind of like on par with that one in a sense. I thought it picked up towards the end. Like I thought the main guys you needed to make stars, you made stars. But let me ask you guys before you go. I hope when Meltzer comes on, I hope you guys are going to ask about the Mauro situation because.
Oh yes, of course. Yes, we are.
I tell you, I as a guy who deals with mental illness, you know, I would have. Respect for Mauro, so I hope he can get out of this funk. And Corey Graves is kind of a douchebag, so that's all I'll say.
All right. We'll definitely talk to Dave and see what he has, what background he can give us on this story, because there's more to than what Michael Cole said about him blowing out his voice. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of news this week as well. We really focused the first hour on Survivor Series, but there's a lot to unwrap here. There's of course, thanks for the call, Hansy. Hang that phone up. But you know, we also had Britt Baker shown on War Games last night. That was interesting.
Yes.
And we had Kelly Klein and ROH and that situation. Newsweek picking up
a huge article on
ROH, not making them look pretty good. The Jim Cornette situation we got to talk about because I don't think this one was his fault. There's a lot that's Jim Cornette's yes. fault. Not sure that this one was necessarily his fault. CM Punk back, or CM Puppet, as I shall now call him forever and a day. There's lots to unwrap. So Dave is going to join us next. We're going to give him a call. We're going to take a break now and flip on over to that and get to some of the news stories of the week, as well as continue to chat Survivor Series, War Games, anything that is on your mind. Turnbuckle Trivia in the next hour as well. Lots to talk about, lots to unwrap. It's our live show here after Survivor Series. We thank you for listening, and if you want to participate, it's 1-866-729-2562. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just a dollar a week. You get the full 2 hour show, commercial free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include The Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just a dollar a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.